10 years of using a mobile phone results in no increased risk of a tumor in the nerve connecting the ear to the brain, according to some researchers today. But amid public concern about a possible link, the scientists who conducted the largest study so far on the subject say they could not rule out a higher risk over a longer period of time. The results of our study suggest there is no substantial risk in the first decade after starting use, said Anthony Swerdlow of the Institute of Cancer Research. In a moment, our guest will be Dr. Gabriel Cousins, MD. We're going to talk about conscious eating and spiritual nutrition right here on Coast to Coast AM. By the way, our great affiliate down in the New Orleans area is WWLAM, the 50,000-watt huge station. And I've been trying for the last couple days with our staff to get a hold of them, and I don't know if they're broadcasting right now. So if any of you happen to be in that area or you're listening on WWL, simply send me a fast blast and tell me that they are okay. And they were powered up, and they are on the air, if you would. Dr. Gabriel Cousins is the founder and director of the Tree of Life Foundation. He is a holistic medical doctor, a psychiatrist, and a family therapist, and a licensed homeopathic physician. Dr. Cousins received his MD degree from Columbia Medical School in 1969 and completed his psychiatry residency in 1973. He was the chief mental health consultant for the Sonoma County Operation Head Start and a consultant for the California State Department of Mental Health, and currently consults with clients at the Tree of Life to create individualized programs for vibrant wellness. Dr. Cousins supports clients in integrating a holistic lifestyle that includes an individualized optimal health diet, emphasizing live foods, exercise, meditation, and nutritional and medicinal supplements. And he is our guest on Coast to Coast. Dr. Cousins, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm very pleased to be on your show, George.
Two Gabriels in my life. One is now you. The other is my father.
Isn't that strange? Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I called him Gabe all the time. Of course, I called him Dad. They called him Gabe.
Right.
If you can tell me your interest, this is very unusual. A medical doctor swinging over to the holistic side. How did this happen?
It happened briefly. When I was four, I just knew I wanted to be a healer, but I didn't know what that meant. There was no one in my family was a healer, but I knew I was intrigued with the whole issue of how to make people healthy. Then, when I was 16, my older brother died in a car accident. And I went inward and began to was intrigued by the issue of what is death about. And at that time, I also built a heart-lung machine and won the state science fair. But I was recreating life out of the death. So I saw the cycle. It's like my life was very impacted by this, and no one really had any answers. Then when I got to medical school, at Amherst College, I was a biochemist. I published papers already in biochemistry and biophysics mm-hmm. before I even graduated. And when I got there, I saw they really didn't know much about health. They knew about treating symptoms, and it occurred to me that I was in deep trouble because I knew they didn't know what they were doing. I knew I didn't know what I was doing, but at least I knew I didn't know what I was doing. And then as a third-year medical student, I began getting interested in psychiatry because I saw that the mind was very, very important in terms of people's health. This is not what, today people take it for granted that that's connected. In 1965, that wasn't the case. And that was very clear to me. So I moved to psychiatry. But then I saw that the body was connected to, the function of the mind was connected to the body. So then I began to work with things like hypoglycemia and different mental states and using nutrition as a way of affecting it. And then from that, the whole holistic understanding began to evolve. So then, as I evolved, I saw that meditation played a very important role, and that was where I began to understand what death was about.
And you know, you're absolutely right, though, about medicine. And we've got some great medical practitioners in this country and some great hospitals, yet they really aren't set up to cure. They're set up to take care of illnesses that occur. I mean, if you have high cholesterol, they can knock it down. If your arteries are clogged, they can try to unclog them. But they don't have the wherewithal to keep you from getting to that point. And I guess that's what also got you interested in what you're doing.
Yes, very much so. And as I was seeing, I began to see every year I see a bigger picture, because I'm a scientist applying scientific principles to what makes people healthy and what makes people whole. Because I see our work at the Tree of Life Rejuvenation Center as helping people become whole and also becoming their original. Most of us are born originals and die copies. And our work at the Rejuvenation Center, my heart interest, is how to allow people to become originals again, how to find their holy rhythm.
This interest that you had with death, was it based on why we die? Because obviously it's going to happen to all of us eventually. What specifically was it that got you fascinated with that?
Well, the question was, why at 16 and at 21, I'm 16, my brother's 21, why'd he die? What's this about? What's the mystery of life and death about? So it was more that kind of a bigger question. I've studied it in different ways. I've spoken at many, many hospices on both sides of the country and really penetrated. But I didn't really get it till I had a very profound meditation. And kind of coming out of the nothing, I got, there's no death. There's death of the body, but there's no death of the self, which continues lifetime after lifetime and lifetime. So we never really die. That was resolved a bunch of issues and deep questions for me, and I began to see a much greater pattern in the human cycle.
You may be one of the few people, Dr. Cousins, who understands that there's something else out there in the universe that works if people have the ability to tap into it.
Yes. I hope more and more people understand it, but the issue of reincarnation was like obviously not an original insight. There's really nothing we understand, we get that's original, but it was original to me in that moment because I got it on a non-intellectual level. And that's the key here.
In one of your books, the one called Spiritual Nutrition, you write in depth about the quantum field and its relationship with consciousness and also with the food chain. Strange parallel. Explain that.
I approach the live food in a unique way. And as I examine it and have examined a great deal of the research on it, I came across some very interesting work in Germany by Dr. Fritz Popp. And what he discovered is live food is the only food that contains what we call biophotons.
Now, what do you mean by live food?
A food that is not cooked.
All right.
Or microwaved or processed in any way.
Okay.
And he is a brilliant scientist who's been studying this for 30 years, biophotons. And what he found was that the macromolecules like chlorophyll and things like that, or enzymes, contain these biophoton energies. And when people are healthy, they have very high amounts of biophotons, and those biophotons give off light, mostly from their DNA. About 97% of our DNA is actually not the genetic part. It's really gives off biophoton energy. And this biophoton energy transmits light not only as light, we literally radiate. This is the truth. This is a fact.
Is this like an aura almost?
At one level, but I have pictures of people's pituitary and pineal glands.
Yeah.
And they are actually glowing. I'm talking about pictures that are done with laser inside the brain. A living person, living person pictures. They're literally glowing. So it's actually not exactly an aura, but also an aura. But more basic than that. It's like a light bulb.
Tell me more, though, about this biophoton energy.
So what happens is the biophotons communicate in between cells and with the cells. But the biophotons also connect us to what is known as the living field, which is, I would call it, the mothership of consciousness. And these are submolecular particles. And we're all connected. We're all one, as the physicist will completely prove. And as Einstein said, it's all in the living field. It's all in the field. The field is everything. And so what happens is the more biophoton energy we have, the more consciously we connect, we feel our connection with the living field, and therefore it improves, I'm going to just say this, our psychic ability. Now, that's not the only reason, but it improves our overall sense of connection with the consciousness and with the oneness. So living foods indirectly begins to bring us to a more spiritual understanding of the universe.
And are you saying that we all have the ability to increase this biophoton energy within ourselves?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the more biophoton energy, the more conscious we become and the more radiant we become, because we are literally beings of light. This is not a metaphor. I'm saying we actually glow.
I mean, if you feel tired, lethargic, you just don't feel well, can one assume that your biophoton energy level is way down?
Yes, and what Dr. Pop did, because he's able to measure it, is that when people were sick, they had almost no biophoton energy. And we can see it. You know, people who are sick almost have no light coming from them, and when they're well, you can see a certain radiance. You know, it's kind of like an everyday kind of experience. But literally, he's proven that.
How do you increase your biophoton energy?
Well, the more living food you eat, the more biophoton energy you're taking in. The more sunlight you have, the more meditation you do, all these increase the biophoton energy. But specifically, literally living foods. Now, what he found was that wildcrafted food, that's food in the wild, had twice as much biophoton energy as organic food. Organic had five times as much as commercial pesticide, herbicide food, and cooked food had lost it all.
All of it?
All of it. Now, that's just his measurements. You know, what can I say?
Right.
You know.
Okay, now what about, though, the nutritional value of this food, even if it doesn't have or possess any more biophoton energy?
Yeah.
Does that have any redeeming qualities? I mean, is it worth eating it at all? And that would include meats and chicken and shrimp and seafood?
Yeah. What I'd say is if we didn't eat it, most people would probably die. Okay, so obviously it maintains life at some level.
So you got to have some of it.
You got to have something. Now, there is a very interesting point you just raised, because if we get beyond Lavoisier 1780s, which is food is calories, and we're still operating on that very limited concept.
True.
My teaching in spiritual nutrition and also my other book, Rainbow Green Life Food Cuisine and Conscious Eating, all point out that food is energy. That's
so
key.
So it's like you're taking in pure energy if you're eating the right food.
You're taking higher energy. So I'll give you an example. A Dr. Breckman in Russia fed cooked food and the same food uncooked to mice. And the mice on the uncooked food, raw food, had three times as much energy. Same amount of calories. That disproves Lavoisier's theory of 1780s.
Is this instant energy as well, Gabriel? I mean, this happens right away.
I think, because he measured endurance. You know, he put the mice in the water and see how long they could swim and put them in little wheels. And so I can't make that statement. You know, I can just say we have more endurance and more clarity. Now, I know in the long run, because I always look at the long run more than the short run, because you could take a cup of coffee and say you had energy, okay, is that you made a note that I was a football player, a kind of a National Football Hall of Fame. of undefeated football team, and I'm kind of, I think about myself as a spiritual athlete, okay?
All right.
And I could do 70 push-ups as a senior in college. You know, I'm 21 years old. That was pretty good. At the age of 60, I'm a little older than that now, but age of 60, believe it or not, I did 600 push-ups consecutive. Now, how did that happen?
600?
600.
Yeah, how did it happen? Tell me.
Well, it took me a year to get there, but I didn't just, you know, and I did it while I was fasting. Now, what happened? What happened is the live food over time slowly built up my strength and endurance. That's what happened.
All right, give us a menu for a breakfast, just to give us an example of what you're talking about here.
Yeah. Well, for me, you personally, you're talking about here, right?
Yeah.
I have a little bit. I use bee pollen, which is very. It's like the semen of the whole plant world. It's very, very powerful food. One of the most. I mean, back all the way to the Greeks, they knew this is the magical food. Then I have a little fruit. With that, what I call low glycemic fruit, like berries, things like that, berries and cherries. Then I have flaxseed and a little coconut oil. And that's it.
What about your protein? Don't you need protein?
Bee pollen is 20% protein, and then I'll have a few nuts.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's 20% protein.
That's pretty high.
Yeah, it is. It's actually more than steak relative to its weight.
And is this an instant boost when you eat this?
Yeah. There's a catch here. And this is the whole thing about healing. The less you eat, the longer you live.
Yeah.
And the less you eat, the more energy you have because you're not spending time digesting it. So I never eat till I'm full. This is part of the secret.
So you've learned what kind of portions to create for yourself.
Exactly. I use the one bowl approach. I have one bowl. I know exactly what I'm going to eat. I apply a lot of discipline because it does make a difference. It really does. I want to add one point about less you eat, the longer you live, because that's a nice thing to say, and people have known it now. Researchers have known it since 1930, but people have known it for literally thousands of years. Dr. Spindler did this incredible research, and it's two years ago. What he did is he underfed rats 40% less calories. And what he found is within 1 month, he had quadrupled, 400% increase in the amount of anti-aging genes that he turned on. And they did it with a gene chip technology, 11,000 gene chips. 400% increase in your anti-aging genes. Now, what he basically said is, the less you eat, the longer you live. Not only that, you can reverse the aging process. This is pretty phenomenal research to prove it.
It is. I don't know if he can get us to 200 years old, but I bet he can increase it dramatically.
Yeah, so here's the catch. With live, when you cook food, you lose 50% of the protein, according to the Max Planck Institute. And in various studies have shown 70-80% of the vitamins and minerals, and almost 100% of the phytonutrients. Now, therefore, you can eat half as much food on the live food and get the full amount of nutrients. And you eat half as much, because it doesn't sound like eating much for breakfast, but it's live, so I can eat half as much and get all the nutrients I need. And I'm turning on the anti-aging genes, the anti-inflammatory genes, the antioxidant genes, anti-cancer genes, and anti-arthritic genes. That's pretty phenomenal. And that's a secret.
All right, stay with us. Dr. Gabriel Cousins, our guest. We're going to talk about this energy and this ability also to just create this incredible power within yourself. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And Richard C. Hoagland, enterprisemission.com, and our Coast to Coast science advisor is monitoring the remnants now of Hurricane Katrina. And, you know, Richard, if one was going to write a bad dream in script, it couldn't be any worse than this, huh?
It really couldn't. And, you know, I was so struck earlier, George, by your comparison to Atlantis. I mean, this is coast, and we take a somewhat different, you know, tack on things than most
Sure.
other agencies and media and all that, and the people that listen or the people who are guests But I was so struck because this afternoon as I'm watching CNN, and I don't know whether you know, but I used to be an advisor for CNN.
Yes.
That came many years after my CBS stint when I was there with Kevin Sanders. And I have a little note from CNN that I want to remind everybody tonight, or you remind me to tell everybody later. But okay. I was watching, and I was watching the aerial helicopter coverage of the thousands of square miles. I mean, New Orleans is a fairly large spread out city there between Lake Pontchartrain and the crescent of the Mississippi. You're on the Mississippi up there in St. Louis, and sometimes it floods, but it doesn't surround your city, and you're not sitting in a salad bowl 10, 12, 15 feet below the water, below the river. And that's what's going on tonight. We've had a major levee breach, 300 feet plus, along Lake Pontchartrain, where the water is now just flowing down into this bowl, and they had some pumps going that apparently have now stopped going because they were overloaded. There is no local power. There's no way to get heavy equipment or machinery. The Army Corps of Engineers, according to the mayor this afternoon, tried to airlift these huge 3,000-pound, you know, high-tech sandbags, which were basically Kevlar with sand in, and the water just washed them right out of the breach. I mean, if you've ever seen a disaster movie, you know how fast water can flow downhill.
There's
just no way to do this with any technology that is currently on the horizon. So New Orleans is sinking. The water is rising. There's something like 100,000 people still in the city. There's 30,000 people in the Superdome, which turned out to be not that super. And I have this awful feeling that this is only the beginning of your Atlantis scenario, that we're watching, in effect, what it would be like to be at a place at the end of the world.
I think you're absolutely right. Thank you so much, Richard. Richard will be back with us next hour as well for another update on the remains of what was Hurricane Katrina in that disaster down there in the south, specifically New Orleans. And then Richard will join us in the final hour for Open Lines. But when we come right back, Dr. Gabriel Cousins, and next hour we'll open up the phone lines for you with Dr. Cousins as we talk about this incredible story of biophoton energy, conscious eating, spiritual nutrition. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with Dr. Gabriel Cousins. Gabriel, if for some reason you were told you had a very high level of cholesterol, would you go on these new statins that they have, or would you do something else?
I would simply fast, which is the best way to clear out all these problems. And why? Because it resets the genetic expression of our genes. I have treated so many people now with fasting. We have a 10-day detox cleanse and a, you know, longer fast, and I am seeing such miracles that it's not a miracle. I realize it's not a miracle. But the fasting is the easiest, simplest way to clean out the arteries, and what I'm saying, this is a really important concept for people they probably haven't heard, what we eat feeds our genes. What it means is, it actually turns on our genes. Now, I just shared a little bit, and it's in my book, Spiritual Nutrition, as well. There's a real technology. Again, it's a 20, 30 years of research. It's just kind of like people don't know about it yet. Literally, if we eat a certain way, and I'm going to say that live food is one of the main things that turns on the genes, but eating less is probably the main thing, okay, whether it's live or cooked, doesn't matter, is you can actually turn on what we call the phenotypic expression, which is the kind of the way the genes express. So what researchers know is that after the age of 40, 75% of our health has nothing to do with our genetics. It has to do with our lifestyle, whether we meditate, the way we eat, how much sleep we get, and that controls the gene expression. Therefore, what I found is, for example, people with high blood pressure, within 1 week. I've had a person come in with 240 over 120, and in 5 days, their blood pressure goes to normal, taking off medications. Well, actually, this person wasn't on medication.
Oh, that's pretty dramatic.
It's very. But all I'm doing, it took me years to figure this out. You know, if you kind of got where I'm coming from, I'm this scientist. It's like, why is this happening? Why are people getting better? Okay? Until I got the understanding that what I was doing with the fasting is turning on the higher frequency, or what we call phenotypic expression of the genes, bringing people back to normal. Because high blood pressure is one example of, let's say, a downgraded gene expression.
Now, how would you instruct the patient? Because, you know, as a doctor, you're not going to tell them, stop taking your blood pressure pills right now. At the same time, you're trying to get it to go down naturally. So how do you handle that problem?
Well, I don't see it as a problem. I mean, it's a very good question. And basically, it's a person's option. But when I start, I say, look, this is my experience. 95%, this is my actual clinical experience. 95% of the people I see with high blood pressure, if they do this for a week, under supervision, of course, because we'll measure your blood pressure every day, when you stop your medications, by the end of a week, your blood pressure has a very good chance to reestablish at normal without medications. I just tell them that. Your choice. Here's my experience.
And those that try it and go by the rule and eat the right foods, generally what do you see?
I see, as I say, pretty exciting things. I'm going to tell you one incredibly interesting story,
okay,
live story. This is a lady from Mexico, because we see at the Tree of Life Rejuvenation Center, we see people from over 78 different countries. So it's kind of an international center. Even though we're in Patagonia, Arizona, in the mountains, we're just 20 minutes from the Mexican border. So this lady came from Mexico, but she had been in a hospital. She lived in Mexico for 5 years in Massachusetts, in Boston, okay, for mental problems. 5 years. When she came to me, she was so overweight and so toxic, she could barely function. I put her on extended fast, and by day 16, she looked like a new person. She actually fasted for 75 days.
75-day fast?
Yeah.
That's determination and willpower.
Yeah. But also, she was feeling really good. She left looking absolutely beautiful. I mean, she was like 26 years old, okay? She totally transformed as a person, off all medications, able to, when she came, she could barely walk 50 yards. You know, that's how toxic she was. She never went back to the hospital, never had to be on medications again, and she went back to Mexico and was taking care of her father, and she's doing great. That's an example of upgrading the genetic expression. Her previous history had been one of drugs and very high living, let's say, let's put it that way, and she had downgraded expression so that she was getting the least amount of neurotransmitter function. After being on this fast, and I'm telling you, she felt really good. I didn't have to work hard. Once we get past the 2 weeks, she was so delighted because she was reborn.
Now, when you say fast, Gabriel, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Vitamins and water? What is it?
No, I'm talking, I don't use water fast except in exceptional cases because it's a little bit dangerous. It's a green juice fast. In other words, greens. I don't use fruits because too much blood sugar variation. And that's what I mean, green juices from, you know, wheatgrass, cucumber, celery juice, like four juices a day. And we're kind of like a fasting mecca, both medical fast, but I want to say also spiritual fast, because we have a 9-day spiritual fast, 7 days of fasting, and 2 days to come off, because the key to fasting, fool can fast, takes a wise person to come off. You need a day or two to come off under supervision. I see such blossoming of people because I've studied it now. I've been doing this since 1988. It takes about 1 week to make the transformation where your anti-aging genes turn on.
How long does it take, Gabriel, before the hunger pains of food start go away?
About 2 days.
That's it?
Yeah. And also you go into what I call fasting metabolism. So you start burning fat. And there's some other secrets here. Now, this is not documented, but I'm just telling you my impression and some of input, is that it activates the stem cells. The fat releases where some of the stem cells are stored, and they start the whole rejuvenation youthing process. And that's a key thing, all I can say is I haven't documented that yet, but this is my sense of what the kind of regeneration I see. People get younger, they start glowing, their consciousness clears, their depression lifts, the blood pressure goes away, the arthritis goes away. This is really easy. This is very basic.
Now, let me ask you a question. Yeah. Let's assume for a moment a person wants to continue taking his or her blood pressure pills or cholesterol pills or whatever while they are fasting. Is there a danger of, let's say, their blood pressure levels getting too low because you've cleaned them out and you've made them normal, but they're still on their medicine?
That's a very, very astute question. And I think there is, because suddenly you're starting to regulate in a good way. Your body's starting to upgrade its genes, literally.
Yes.
Not figuratively. And suddenly you're still on medication. Yes. The same thing happens with, somebody just healed with diabetes. This is one of my kind of subspecialties, hypoglycemia diabetes. Person comes there, fasting blood sugars 220, does glucose tolerance, says he's up to 240. Above 190 is considered diabetes, just a frame of reference.
Okay.
1 week later on my program, he's down to fasting blood sugar of 120. Now, if he were on insulin, he'd be in a coma.
That's a good point.
Okay. So I have to be very, thoughtful and careful as that unfolds. Now, this guy is done. In 1 week, he cures his type 2 diabetes. Now, that's not unusual, but a delight, because he was really diabetic. And he was actually a monk, and he's a meditator from India. It was like...
That helped.
it helps only in a sense, but culturally it was a very big jump for him, because everybody, many, many people in India have diabetes, they all have sugar. So it was a little bit of a struggle for him, but he had some support, and it's like he's but I see this all the time. Let me put it this way. In fact, I had started a program with the Hopis, and Native American returning to their natural diet, and with a few herbs and eating low glycemic and back to what they were really eating before we came in and kind of reorganized it, so to speak. And there's a lot of resistance to changing your diet back to the natural ways, let's put it that way. But I have this Healing Diabetes Natural program. It's kind of a nonprofit thing that we do to really transform the people in that way, getting off sweets. And it works. We have to be careful in a way, because they have to get off their medications or they can have exactly the problem you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Does this mean that on a program like this, after you've really have cleaned one's person up, you can't ever have that pizza again or anything like that?
Well, pizza's not so sweet, but you can't have your candy, let's put it that way. It's the candy, it's the sweets are the main cause.
Those are the biggest problems,
yeah,
you think?
Yeah.
Okay,
and
there's processed sugars.
There's a Dr. Clegg. He was head of the British Navy Medical Corps. After World War II, he looked at all the indigenous cultures. He found one thing. 20 years after white sugar is introduced and white flour is introduced to a culture, they have an outbreak of diabetes. He just found it. Every single culture he looked at as he surveyed it was 20 years after when diabetes began to manifest in the culture.
And children get hyperactive.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So those are things that we're really seeing, and we have an epidemic of diabetes in this country. I mean, that's not a debate anymore. I can't remember for sure, like 16 million people with it. But there's been a 30% increase in diabetes in people, in their 30s. That's very dramatic.
You've got to be aware then, here I am in St. Louis today, of the Kelo Diabetes Foundation. You know, they do a remarkable job.
Yeah. And what I'm saying is, and I don't want to even call it life foods because it really isn't life foods. I'm saying a low glycemic diet, meaning low sugar diet, mostly vegetables, is going to do it. A live food will speed the healing up because all those biophotons increase your healing as well.
And again, you're saying eat it in its raw state as opposed to boiling it or or broiling it or whatever they
just call because it has more energy, because we're not using Lavoisier's paradigm, food as calories. That's totally unscientific, even though most of the medical and nutritional community are going on that.
Yes.
Food is energy. And that's Dr. Breckman's simple experiment, three times as much more energy on the raw food because of the other factors.
Why the fast, Gabriel, as opposed to just starting this diet like the breakfast you talked about?
There's some very beautiful things that happen when you do these short fasts, which is my favorite for people. This is a 7-day. That's a short fast. What it does is it resets the cellular memory. See, a lot of people come addicted, and as I'm sure you're aware of, it takes 5 to 7 days to clear your addictions at the cellular level of memory. Then it's like a fresh start.
Oh, I see. It's almost like rebooting your computer.
It is exactly. Like, literally, you're rebooting your cellular computer and your DNA computer because you're upgrading it. There's two terms just to get. There's phenotype and genotype. Genotype is your hardcore. Phenotype is your expression. Okay? And you upgrade your expression. It takes about a week, minimum, to do that. And the other thing is, this is the whole thing of healing. It's got to feel good. And by the time people hit day 5, 6, and 7 of the fast, they are feeling really good.
Because so many people complain about just not feeling good.
Yeah.
They're just, I don't know what the feeling is, but it's not, they're just not 100%.
Their computers need rebooting. That's what we're talking about. And literally, the fasting reboots the computer. And that's why I'm turning more in a sense of this very simple thing. I mean, this is not a lot of medicines, not a lot of anything. That here, let's reboot your computer physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, and it works for people. And then they get a sense, wow, this is what it feels like to feel good. Now, for the first time in life, they actually have a marker that says that. You know, they know in their own heart what good is.
Do you see a glow change with their complexion and
absolutely.
Things like that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Skin tone, everything.
Everything. The light goes on. That's what happens because juicing brings in a lot of the biophoton energy. Literally, the light goes on, as well as, you know, spiritually, the light goes on, too.
Well, I'll tell you, Gabe, the worst you feel when you go out to dinner is when you eat too much and you have that stuffed feeling.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it for the whole day.
Yeah. The secret to longevity is the less you eat, the longer you live. It's really simple. Now we've proven it. It even reverses the aging process. Live foods does. So what do animals do? What do gorillas do? They're like humans, chimpanzees. They have tremendous strength, you know. They're eating live food. That's why I'm saying about the 600 push-ups. It's like, this is not an accident. It's like something that happens over time because you're bringing so much energy into the system. You have endurance increases immeasurably. I mean, I'm in my chronological ages. I'm in my 63rd year. And, for example, are you familiar with the Sundance?
No.
Okay, well, it's a Native American thing. And here in the Southwest, we kind of connect because I'm doing a lot of work with Native Americans. So I got interested in the Sundance. So you go 4 days, supposed to, without food and water, okay?
4 days?
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't recommend that for everybody, do
no,
you?
No, I certainly don't. But, you know, it's a four-year cycle. You do it for 4 years. I was the only one. I was the oldest one. But the only one to do this, to be able to do 4 days without food and water. The actual Native Americans and some of the other, you know, or white people who were doing it weren't able to do that.
No, no, you have to tough it in out when you're doing something like that. Stay with us. We'll open up the phone lines. If you have one of your spiritual nutritional questions for Dr. Gabriel Cousins, next hour is the time to do it. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.